Welcome to the Sarah Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
On that note, welcome to the Sarah Podcast, episode number 6. We have just wrapped up the SK Modified race in week number 6, but we're going to pretend like that hasn't happened yet as we go back and recap the first 5 weeks of the season. I am your host, Matt Rolfe, driver of the number 51. I am here tonight with Clay Snyder, driver of the number 38.
Good evening.
Also here with Mark Gammick again in the number 63.
Hello.
And once again, we brought him back this week, Bill Martin.
Sup, G?
And he normally drives the 39 car, so we'll get that out of the way. But yeah, we're going to be going back and looking at the first 5 weeks of the season, kind of see where everything stands as far as the points and things like that. But before we get to that, I do want to mention, we have put it in the email blast, but soon here, within the next couple of days, I do plan on posting this more on social media and the iRacing forums. But the registrations for our Big 3 event, the Spring Shootout, that will take place from April 11th to the 14th. Registrations for that are now open, so guys can go ahead and start signing up for that. Reserve your numbers. We'll have a 100, I think I have it as 175 lap race in the SK Modifieds at USA on that Wednesday of that week. And then the Super Late Models will be out there for 250 laps on that Thursday, with qualifying happening earlier in the week, kind of like we did in the Fall Brawl. So just kind of wanted to get that out of the way. And transitioning that over to the recaps here, one thing that we are doing with the Big 3 is that if you're a driver that finishes in the top 10 in the SK standings or the Super Late Model standings heading into that event, those drivers will be locked into the field. So some of these guys have something to race for heading into that event. So for those two divisions specifically, we'll go down through the top 10 in points. But I guess we'll start off with the SK Modifieds. And it's been the Ty Majeski show. just simple domination from him. We were just talking about it before we started, but Bill, you're the only one that has your name on any of the results from your pole in week one. But other than that, it's been all Ty. 5 races, 4 poles, 5 wins, and a 76-point lead after just 5 races. So it's pretty clear that he's dominating so far.
With any luck, he'll trip and break an arm. But it's probably not going to happen. Plus, he needs his arms because he's going to be driving real cars pretty soon. Although I'm pretty sure it's not going to be till after the Sarah season is over. But at least we can look forward to maybe a tie-less next season. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Even still, I'm sure we'll have to deal with him winning races all over the place. I actually put it in the power rankings. This season, he's only finished first or 26th. He has 2 races where he's finished 26th. Every other race this season, he's won. So that's kind of just how his season's gone. Simple domination with him. Moving into the... I'll just go through the points a little bit here to see where everyone stands as of right now heading into that Big 3 event. Dale Owen's been running pretty solidly here. He's in second in points. Michael German's also running very well, running in third. Ian Lane in fourth, and Matt Eddy in fifth. I know Majeski's out there with a 76-point lead, but those other guys are all separated by 41 points, which right now it's not a whole lot, especially when you consider drops coming into play later on in the season. And that's going to be one of the themes here with these point recaps is these points right now might not look the same after we get done with our drops, which will be after the Big 3 event. So we'll see how things shake out. To finish out the top 10 in points, I am currently in 6th. Clay, you're having a decent season in 7th, but you've also had your fair share of bad luck as well.
Yeah, up and downs for sure. I've had several lap-down finishes from wrecks, but things might be turning around, hopefully.
And then we've got Bill Martin in 8th in points, and I do want to note that, Bill, you have missed a race, and then you've also had your little bit of bad luck as well, but we learned from last season that you can have bad luck early and come back. So I think once you have your drop race, you'll be back right in the thick of things.
That's nice of you to say, but it's, we'll see. Bad luck. I had bad luck at the beginning of last season too, but it lasted for like a race or two, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. This season sucks. if there's anything that can be hit, I've hit it really hard at least 7 times.
Yeah, you're doing a pretty good job at that.
Thank you.
No, but you're definitely not out of it yet. And to wrap up the top 10 in points as they stand, Michael Baxter is in 9th and Eric Block is in 10th. Speaking of Eric Block, right now he is leading the rookie points. We have a couple guys that are pretty close at the top of it. Again, these rookie points, they only count your best 8 races out of the 13. So this points battle, or the rookie points battles in general for all the 4 divisions, are going to really get shaken up towards the end of the season once we get past week 8. But for now, there's a pretty wide spread among who is it near the top based on how many starts they have and things like that. So Eric Block currently leading the SK Modified rookie points, followed by Tom Wetmore. Tom has actually missed a couple races, but he's run well in the ones that he has. And a couple other guys to mention are Alex O'Brien and Kenny Smith, who have been running for rookie points as well. We talked about Majeski winning all those races, and I think we hit on it last time, Bill. We wondered how many times you finished second to Majeski. I counted earlier tonight, 17 times you finished second to him. That's pretty crazy.
Is that including the most recent ones? Because I thought that when the original count was made, it was 17. There's been a couple races since then.
Unless my math was wrong tonight, I think it is 17 now. It might have been 15 before, somewhere in there.
It's ridiculous.
Either way.
All those wins I could have, but yeah. Time and Jesse's got to be good at things.
You have plenty of wins yourself, so you're... If it wasn't for him, you'd have a lot more, though, which is an interesting thing to think about. But for the SK points, I'm going to put you guys on the spot, actually. I'm going to ask you guys... I think this might be an easy question for this division, but I'm going to ask you guys, who are you guys picking to win the championship? As it stands right now, we're 5 weeks in. Still got 7 weeks to go, I guess, and things are going to get shaken up later on, but I want to know who you guys are picking. I'm going to start with you, Mark.
I mean... It'd be so easy to pick Ty Majeski, but I'm just going to play like maybe by some grace, something's going to happen. Ty might go off and win some real races or something, and or whatever. And I'll say that Michael German, he's running pretty quick.
He has been very solid lately. He's been running consistently near the front of the field, so that's not a bad pick. Clay, who you got?
Obvious choice is Ty, but let's not take the easy way out. I feel like Dale has been super consistent, always at the front, second or third. I think he's got a pretty good shot.
I'm thinking the same thing, because obviously Ty, realistically, we're deciding who's finishing second. And since we're talking second, I'm going to go with Dale Owen too, because... ever since the end of last season, he's been fast in everything he drives. He's been doing a really good job, so I think you can pretty much expect him to finish second. Although Michael German's been doing really well, too.
I think you mentioned you've been helping out Dale a little bit, too, as well, and he's definitely taken that and run with it.
Yeah, I did. I haven't this season, but I mean, I'm sure he's got some of my help left over from the last season as far as setups go. I gave him a couple of them. But he knows setups well enough to update them himself, and clearly he's got it figured out.
I do have a sneaky suspicion that Bill may be getting a win soon, though.
You might be right.
I think it's coming soon. I put that in the power rankings. We'll see. And if I'm playing along and having to pick someone that's going to finish second, maybe the champion... I can't argue with Dale. He's been so strong, not just in the SKs, but I think in the street stocks he's been running pretty well there too. So it's been carrying over throughout the beginning of the week for him. So I think he's got a good shot at it. Speaking of the street stocks, I will just mention, and I know we're doing a quick 5-week recap of these divisions, but I will mention last week we had our double features at Oxford. Ty Spearman dominated race number 1, and Jeff Bai has made a return to this league. He ran back many seasons ago, and he also picked up a win in the second portion of those double features. Actually, Clay, speaking of Jeff Bai, I think you finished second to him one season, but it wasn't really close. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, I think it was probably 100 points or more. It was, once again, kind of like the tie situation is you're running for second.
Yeah, I'm trying to find these stats real quick. It was pretty crazy. Looking at the standings for that season, you finished second by 217 points. Jeez. I think we used a different point system back there, but that was quite a bit. He ran 8 races out of the 10 that we had, and he won 7 of them with 5 poles. So he definitely knows how to win, or he did know how to win back then, and he showed pretty quickly here early on that he could come back and still compete with these guys. Although he did talk to me and said the competition is a lot stiffer than it used to be, so he did point that out. But heading over into the point standings, I personally think this is one of the tougher divisions to call right now. It's so tight at the top of the standings between Hunter Combs, who's in first, Tom Wetmore is 4 points back in second, and Tommy Burns is 3rd, 12 points back. And those guys have been going back and forth all season long, and they've actually gotten a little physical with each other too, just because they've been up front battling so hard with each other that they're bound to make contact. But right now, that division is probably the most competitive. And I think we mentioned it maybe in one of the earlier podcasts that I think because we don't have our Bill Martins and our Ty Majeskis and Cody Kellys in the street stock division, it's wide open for everybody else, and it just makes it that much more competitive because we're not chasing anyone. So right now, that one's been very exciting at the top of the points. I mean, I feel like I've been running decent, and I'm still falling behind those guys. They've been that strong. I know, Mark, you've been running this season in the street stocks, and I'm sure you've seen those guys up there too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. I've had a lot of issues in that series and the late models, just getting wrapped up in watching racing happening in front of me and not paying attention to what I'm doing, what's going on around me. But because it is just really exciting to watch those guys go at it up front.
So we'll see how that plays out. We'll make our picks in a second on those drivers. Wrapping up the top 5 in points, I am 4th and Ty Spearman is 5th. A note on Spearman is that he has missed a race. He's got 3 wins, and yet he's still 5th in points, so I wouldn't count him out yet either. And a couple other guys that have missed a race, Kevin J. Myers, Dale Owen, and Mark, you've missed one as well. So I think after we have our drop races, I think we're going to see some of these guys that have missed a race kind of back up towards the top 5, top 10 points competing. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Looking at the rookie points, while Tommy Burns is battling for the title, he's also currently leading the rookie points by quite a bit. I think he's got, I don't think my numbers there is correct. I think he's 24 points up and on the next guy in line. But like I mentioned before, once the rookie drop weeks come into play, you're only the best 8 races count. I think we'll see a big shakeup there as well. Kenny Smith is another rookie running fairly well. Tyler Howell's been up there, and Andy Shuck is right in the mix too. If those guys make more starts throughout the season, they could be in contention for the rookie points. So having said all that and kind of telling you guys where the points are at and who's running where, once again, we're going to go through our picks. This time, Bill, I'm picking you first to make your pick.
I think I'm going to win the championship.
Yeah.
I think I got a good chance. I'm just kidding. Okay, so I'd like to see Hunter win because he's a teammate. I'd like to see Tommy win because he's a teammate too. This isn't going to happen. This is what's going to happen. All right? The drop weeks are going to happen, and Ty Spearman's going to beat everybody. And then Ty Spearman's going to get kicked the hell out of the league. That's what's going to happen.
Well, not out of the league, but we might kick him out of the street stocks. We'll see.
that's what I meant. I think that Spearman's going to probably show up out of nowhere. Just, you know, how the drop weeks work. Somebody who seemingly is out of the, or just doesn't appear to be in it yet, and all of a sudden, bam, he's at the top of the board.
Yeah, and I think he's mentioned it to me before, but you might know better than I do. I think he's sometimes on the road too, so that might depend on his schedule, his work schedule, but we'll see how that works out. Mark, you're up next.
I was hoping I'd get to go to before Bill. So
sorry.
Bill wouldn't drop all that logic, because that's exactly where I was going. Like, you know, he's sitting back in fifth right now, but I think Ty Spearman's the guy to beat in that division. He still has the most wins, I believe. Right, you said 3 out of 5?
Yeah, 3 wins,
and,
yep.
So those two races, just one was an invert and the other one was, I think, a bad, you know, just random bad luck. But he's definitely racing motivated. He wants, you know, it's almost a privilege to get kicked out of that division. He definitely, since race one or race two, he just kind of looked like a guy that was motivated to get that notch in his belt. So that's who I would pick.
Clay, how about you?
Well, it might not even be mathematically possible, but from racing him in the past, I could see Jeff just going on a tear and winning the majority of the remainder races. So I'm going to go with him. Who knows if it could even happen, but he's my pick.
Interesting. You're right. I don't know if he will be able to get enough points just based on how many starts he might have missed, but definitely a dark horse that maybe pick up a few more wins throughout their season. I'm going to go with one of the guys that wasn't mentioned up there in the top four or five, and I'll pick Tom Wentmore. Obviously, Bill mentioned those other guys are kind of on the posse. They have a lot of help there. Wetmore has got his help from a different team as well, and he's been surprisingly quick, not just in that car and the street stock, but in some of the other divisions too. And he showed last season towards the end of it that he could run pretty well. So I think he's going to be right there in the thick of things throughout the rest of the season. I think he's someone that you're going to have to watch for too. But I think between the four drivers that were mentioned, Hunter, Tom, Tommy, and Ty, I think those guys, by the end of the season, those guys are going to be fighting pretty hard for it. And so we'll see who makes a mistake and maybe leaves the door open for somebody else. Moving on to the pro late model division, we'll mention last week that Ty Spearman, we just talked about him a little bit, he picked up the victory at Lucas Oil Raceway. He used a little bit of tire strategy, pitted earlier than most of the field, and made his way to the front. And by the time the rest of the field could take their tires, it was on a late race restart, and they were not able to make it back towards the field. Actually, Bill, I think you pitted before everybody, but that didn't quite work out for you.
Yeah, I was having a big issue with the center of the corner, so I went in early because I figured it might work out. But in the same time, if you go early, there's always a chance to happen what happened, which was somebody spun out and I saw a hole that closed up a little too late to hit the brake pedal, which sucks because it's by far one of my favorite tracks, and it was the first time I ever finished outside of the top five within the league too, so it was depressing.
Yeah, it's bound to happen eventually, but yeah, you've been really strong there. Well, your teammate went on to pick up the win. Ty Spearman got the win there.
You know what? He was in the same setup too. He didn't have any time to work setup, so I gave him mine. I'm sure he changed a couple of things, but he used my setup and then kicked my butt.
He actually pitted during your caution, so after you wrecked, that's when he came down and pitted, and he made it work, so...
That was the plan, of course. That was the plan.
That's what teammates are for. Looking at the point standings for this division, I wouldn't say I'm surprised that these guys are running well, but I'm kind of surprised by this top three or four in the points here. They're not who I would expect from the Pro Late Model division. We mentioned that Tom Wetmore was battling for the street stock points. He's currently leading the Pro Late Model points by 12. I think as of right now, some of our top guys have missed races and got into some wrecks, so it's left the door open for guys like Tom to take over the points lead. And right now he's been doing pretty well. He leads by 12. Other guys in the top five, Russell Berry, second in points. I know he told me he was surprised by that, but he's actually been very consistent lately. He picked up top five this past week, sitting right there in second in points. Not bad at all. Dale Owen is sitting third in points. I think he might be closer to the points lead, but he had a bad race during one of the Richmond races. Michael German is in fourth in points. And Bill, you're in fifth, but again, you had your fair share of bad luck, and especially in this division early on, you fell into a deep hole, so now you're trying to make your way back. But it's going to be a little bit tougher, I think, than the SK division.
Yeah, I don't give a crap. But what I do want to touch on is Tom. You mentioned Tom being at the front is a little bit surprising. I don't think it's surprising that Tom's at the front, because Tom is really consistent. He's run into some bad luck, but when it comes to overall speed, unless he misses his setup a little bit, you can almost kind of be guaranteed Tom will be at the front of the field. So I would say it's surprising because he's new to see somebody new at the front right away. But Tom has always been pretty quick, and he's got some really good teammates, too, to help him out. So I think he more than deserves the lead that he's got.
He's been
really consistent, and honestly, that's all it takes. You know, I've talked about patience before. If you're patient, you're going to finish well. And it worked. It's working out for him.
I guess I'll rephrase my statement a little bit. I'm not surprised that they're up there. I'm surprised at the guys that are not up there. That sounds a little better. Because we do have a couple guys that I'll make note of that are outside the top five in points. Ty Spearman is seventh in points. He has 2 wins in that division. So, again, once the drop weeks come into play, he could be right back up there after he missed a race. Wendell Stratton has missed a race. I've missed a race. Mark Gammick, Michael Baxter, we've all missed races. And Cody Kelly has missed 2 races, and he has a win, I believe, earlier in the season. Yes, he does. So even if Cody makes the rest of the season and he drops 2 races, he could be right back up there too. So there are a few other names that are sort of missing from the top of the points that I think will be back up there later on. But so far, it's still very competitive in the front five the way we have it right now, and we'll see if those other guys can make up ground on them. Looking at the rookie points, because Tom Wetmore is leading the overall points, he's also leading the rookie points by 18 points over Tommy Burns. Tyler Howell is in the mix, as well as TJ Hayes and Eric Block. Again, drop races for the rookies will be very important after week 8, so that'll be interesting to see who can make up ground there as well. So, once again, we're going to make our picks. Mark, since you complained last time, I'll let you go first. Who do you have for the Pro Late Model Champion?
You know, because I am Tom's teammate, I'll pick Tom. I think it's going to come down probably between Tom, Ty, and Bill. But like Bill said, Tom just runs consistently and runs the crap out of, you know, Bill, you said even if he misses the setup, but if he misses the setup, he still runs the crap out of it. And so I think he's definitely going to be there at the end if he can keep his nose clean.
So Clay?
Two posse drivers' luck will continue and you guys won't keep your nose clean. Tom will be able to stay up there.
Not that you're wishing bad luck on anyone or anything.
No,
you can.
The trend.
It's cool, you can.
No, I wouldn't wish bad luck. I'm just following the trend.
I'm kidding.
All right, Clay, who do you have in this one?
This thing's so tight, and with drop races being factored in later on, I have no clue. So I'm just going to throw a dart at a virtual dartboard and pick Bill.
Woo! I like the sound of that.
Bill, you do have your work cut out for you. I do think you're going to be in the mix of things, but I'm going to go... Actually, with Wendell Stratton to kind of be a dark horse in this as well, just because I know he battled you pretty hard last season there, Bill, towards the end of it. You guys were tied going to the last race, so he knows how to be up there in the points. I think if he runs the Pro Late Model race this week at the road course, I know you're strong there, Bill, but I think he's got a good shot to gain some points there, and then when the drop weeks come around, he could be right back in the thick of the thing. So maybe an outsized shot compared to the other names we've mentioned, but I'll go with Wendell for the Pro Late Model champion at the end of the season, potentially.
Right, right. I think that I am definitely not going to win it, Clay. Sorry, that's not going to happen. It might. Cody Kelly is a good choice if and only if he ends up showing up for every single race from this point on, because I think the competition is too stiff this particular season, even though a lot of guys have had bad races, for him to make up a missed race. If he misses a race, I don't think he'll be able to do it. As long as Tom keeps coming to every race, I believe Tom will probably win. I would put my money on Tom. Wendell's a good choice, but missing a race, I mean, just it depends. If he ends up with a full season, Wendell's got a great chance too. But I really would put my money on Tom over anybody. And I think Dale will stay at the top of the standings. I think Russell will too. Michael German's been really good. I think he'll stay up there. But yeah, definitely. I'm
it's very competitive. Even
the... It really is. It's hard. It's hard to... I'm just naming everybody, basically.
Everyone's got a shot. But I think this is the division where... I know we mentioned the Street Sox as it's most wide open as far as you don't have your big names up at the top of the standings in that one, but this one's fairly wide open as well just based on the quality of drivers that have missed races, and I think it is going to be pretty tight towards the end of it. And it was last season too, so I won't be surprised if it comes down to the last race of the season to figure this one out. Moving on to the super late models, this points battle is pretty tight as well. I'll first mention that Cody Kelly went on to win this past race at Lanier. He and Ty Spearman ran in the top two most of the race, and Spearman could never quite get there, and Cody kind of cruised on to the victory. Picked up his, I believe it was his first super late model win of the season. But going into the points, it's been a pretty good battle between Cameron Hamilton, who I feel like I've already mentioned this in another podcast, but he used to run with us in one of our earlier super late model seasons. I think he finished second in points in that, so I'm not surprised that he's up here. And this season he's showing that he can run with the best of them. He's been consistent, fast. He's been in the top five or top ten every race, so he's right now he's going to be tough to beat straight up. And I'm not too far behind. I'm kind of keeping pace with him at this point. I am in second in points. And David Kerkorian is third. He's only 31 points back, but he did have one bad race. So once that gets knocked out in the drop week, I actually think he's going to jump over me, and it'll be a battle between Cameron and Kerkorian as of right now for those the three drivers in the top three. Looking at some of the other points, once again, I'll go through the top 10 in this division just based on the big three. The top 10 in points in this division will get locked into that event. So kind of important to see where these guys are running right now. Fourth in points, Chuck Sweeting has kind of been a surprise. I actually looked at his stats earlier. He only has one top 10 and he's fourth in points. His other four finishes are, I think, at worst 13th. So he's been right there battling for top 10s every race, and it's the consistency has him up in fourth in points. And Ty Spearman is in fifth. Bill Martin, you are in sixth. Ian Lane, seventh. Russell Berry, eighth. Gil Gack, I actually don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but we'll go with that. Gil Gack is in ninth, and Michael Baxter, 10th in points. Do want to mention that both Ty Spearman and Bill Martin, you guys are 5th and 6th in points, but you both have missed races too, so we're not going to count you guys out. Jason Williams missed a race, he's down in 11th, and then Cody Kelly, once again, this division, he's missed two races too, but he did pick up a win, so we'll see where he ends up if he runs every race from this point out. Bill, I did mention you missed a race, and you're still in 6th in points. I feel like you still have a pretty decent shot if you're able to make most of the races, but I think you said earlier before this that you might not be able to.
Most likely, I probably won't make enough races to make a proper challenge for the SLM, but I wish that I could, because I haven't ever won the championship, and it sure would be nice to try, at least. But I have a slot car club that meets on Thursday nights, and it's 2 hours away from where I live, which is where I race my real race car. So I'm usually gone on Thursdays. So that's why I end up missing so many races. But it's always fun as hell whenever I can make it. The super late model is a lot of fun to drive.
I think if you were to win a super late model championship, you'd be the only one as of right now that had one in all four current divisions. Just a fun fact for you.
Yay, almost.
And actually, I shouldn't have spoiled any of that, because maybe some of the other guys would have picked you to be a champion, but oh well. Looking, not anymore. Looking at the rookie point standings real quick, Chuck Sweeting, mentioned him doing well in fourth in points, but he's also leading their rookie points with 38 points. James Wenzel has been impressive. He's only been in the league 3 weeks out of the first five, but he joined week three, so he's been really impressive so far. He's run 7 races total, I believe, and he's finished top 10 in all of them. So he's not too far behind in the super late model rookie points. And then Steven Janis and Michael Baxter, a couple other names that are not too far behind in that. But looking back at the championship battle, once again, we're going to make our picks. This time, let's see who... I'll make my pick first, because I haven't gone first yet. I kind of hinted towards it earlier that I think it's going to come down to Cameron Hamilton and David Kerkorian for the points battle at the end of the season, as long as they keep running the way they have been. This one's tough. I'm going to go with David Krikorian, just based on, I know he gets a lot of help from his teammates, and they always run well. He's teammates with Cody Kelly and Brooks and those guys, and they know how to put together a great setup. So I think overall, throughout the long run of the season, he might have a better shot towards the end of it. So I'm going to go with him. I'll go with Bill. You're up next. Who you got?
All right. I'm not going to go with Krikorian. Krikorian's a really, I would say, a smart race car driver, in the sense that he's really good at saving a car and making it last when he needs it to. But I don't believe that he's going to end up making enough races to win a championship. Maybe now that I've said that, he'll bother to. he oftentimes does miss a lot of races, and I think maybe sometimes it might have cost him championships because he's definitely good enough. I think it'll come down to either you, Matt, or probably Cameron, if things continue to go the way they are. I think it'll be between you two. I'm not going to pick one because I like both of you. So it's up to you guys to figure it out on your own.
Fair enough. Clay?
Well, I would say Matt, but we all know that he will eventually step on his dick. So I think I'm going to go with Krikorian. He's so clean, I feel like. And he's always up there at the front. And I think he'll kind of nickel and dime his way to a championship.
Mark, you get the last word on your pick.
Yeah, I guess this is going to be split 50-50. I really want to support Krikorian since, again, we're on the same team. But I, like Bill said, I don't know if he'll be there for the full season. And this isn't a series that I follow, unfortunately, so I don't know anything beyond that. So I'm just going to have to go with you, Matt, because I know that you'll be there every season. And for the same reason that Clay just gave, you know, you're always there. You're just nickel and dime your way away at it. So that's going to be my blind pick of the week.
Don't disappoint us, Matt. We both of us just picked you, sort of.
Sweet. Yep. Be sure to choke this next race. I'm actually kind of surprised that no one picked Ty Spearman because he, like we mentioned, he's kind of, in the other divisions, he's kind of, or I guess in the Pro League models, he's kind of hanging around. He has missed a race in the same case here. So I think last season, if he had run the full season, he would have been the one to beat. I kind of lucked into it a little bit as far as some of the guys didn't show up towards the end of the season. So I think if he does choose to run the rest of the season, I think he'll come back and be in contention as well. But I'm surprised none of us picked him, to be honest. Anyways, Clay, you did this last week, so I'll let you do it once again, if you don't mind doing the schedule preview for week number 6.
Yeah, this one ought to be pretty easy. Everyone's at New Hampshire.
Nice.
There's two oval races.
Well done.
And two road course races. So the SKs and the Supers are both running the oval, and the Street Stocks and Pro Late Models are both running the road course.
I think a lot of guys are looking forward to the two road course races. I know we promote this league as the top short track league around, but we do like to mix it up on a road course every once in a while. It's kind of just a nice break, and we've done it the last few seasons in the Pro Late model, so I know guys are looking forward to it. I put it into the email blast earlier that we are going to do an invert this time. We're not going to do a qualifying dash for either of those two races, but we will do an invert, so it'll be interesting to see if a David Krikorian shows up for the Pro Late Model race, who has dominated like he has most of the time when we go to road courses, if he gets a pole, first of all, and if he does, where he gets the invert, and if he can make his way up through. So that'll be kind of interesting, put a little twist on it this season. And
kind
I think
of
it'll...
more of how many laps is it going to take him to put a 10-second lead on me?
That too, yeah. Well, hopefully if he gets trapped back there a little bit, it might take more than a couple laps, but we'll see how that goes.
He did have some competition in the last road course race, but I don't remember who it was with.
Wendell hung with him.
Was it Wendell?
Yeah, Wendell hung with him for the first 10 or 15 laps.
That's better than the rest of us have done.
So. Yeah.
Good job, Stratton.
I think I looked, and he's won 4 out of the last 5 road course races that we've done, and he's won by a margin of, like, is either 60-something seconds or 80-something seconds total, so he's clearly been dominant in that. But the one good thing for the street stock division is he's not allowed to run that one. So we may see a new winner on the road course. I really don't have any idea who's going to be up there in the street stock, so that'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. Bill, do you have any tips of the week for us this week?
I do, and it's something that actually translated once upon a time to a real race that I was in, and boy did it piss me off. This week's tip is about looking past your goddamn hood pins. there's more than one reason to do such a thing. The primary reason you don't look past your hood pin, or you do look past your hood pins, is so that if there's trouble ahead of you, you know the hell to slow down for it. Whether it's stopping, maneuvering around, whatever it is you have to do, you are more likely going to make it through a crash if you slow down, maybe even slow down really fast, and try to avoid the crash. Maybe somebody might run into the back of you, but at least somebody ran into the back of you instead of you running into the front of somebody else. But the other main thing about looking past your hood pins is not just whether or not there's a crash ahead of you. It's even if you're the guy that's in first place. If you're in first place and you've got nothing to look at but the track, you should be looking down the track. Because if the best way to get around a corner is to look at what's coming before you get there. A lot of people, especially in the world of iRacing, because, you know, you're looking at a screen, it's a lot different than real life, but when you're looking at a screen, you pick certain points, and usually they end up being fairly close to where the front of your car is. And that is a big mistake if you're wanting to improve your lap times. You should be looking always at least a half a turn ahead of where you are on the track. That way you can judge much better what it is you're going to be doing when you get there. So looking past your hood pins is not just a thing to think about when you're about to be involved, hopefully not involved, into a crash. But it's also equally as important in regards to how you run your line and how you attack a corner. So, look past your goddamn hood pins.
Boom. There it is. Bill Martin's tip of the week. Just to make a comment on that, I know, Mark, you kind of mentioned earlier in the podcast how there's a couple races, whatever, that you get caught watching the racing in front of you and getting caught up in something, and I feel like I've done that plenty of times before as well and just had to, like, take a step back and go, I'm watching these guys in front of me way too much. I need to be focusing on my line, looking into the corner and seeing where I need to go rather than worrying about what they're going to do. So I definitely agree with you, Bill. It's a key thing, especially in iRacing here.
It's a big deal, too, as far as hitting your lap times, because it's really easy to look at a wall, to look at a fence, to look at a couple of lines on the track and think, all right, I hit my line. Now I can just keep looking exactly that far ahead of me. And it's easy to make that a habit when it's really, really important to always look far beyond that.
Agreed. Well, I think that'll wrap it up here for our Week 5 recap. Had a little fun making some picks. Maybe we'll write those picks down and see how we do it towards the end of the season. But it'll be kind of interesting to see all of these points battles will play out. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we did record this at the end of the SK Modified race in Week 6. We will try to get a podcast out hopefully by the end of the week. Maybe we can meet up on Thursday night, get it out on Friday again. We'll see how everyone's schedules play out. I don't want to give away what happened in the SK race, but I will give away one spoiler, that Ty Majeski did not win the race. So that's it. We'll just leave it at that. You'll have to pay attention to the results and all that to figure out what happened. But having said that, I appreciate you guys coming out here, you other host, and helping me out with a podcast and joining me here tonight. And I thank everyone for listening, having to deal with us on this podcast. And we'll catch you all next week.